Bekutta Sichas, Chelek Tazayin, Parsha Yisrei, Sicha Dalet. Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, on the Pasuk that says Hashem came down on Har Sinai, you know, to give the Torah by the Aseres Adibris, is Rashi Mefarish. Rashi explains, Yochel Yorad Olav Mamish, I would think, should you think that he came down, literally came down onto the mountain, Tamal Loimah, the Pasuk says, another Pasuk says, Kimen Hashemayim Dibarti Mochem. It's actually in this week's parasha. It's a perek later. So the pasuk says, "From heaven I spoke to you." So from this we see that he spoke from heaven. We'll get to the rest of the Rashi soon. First, he focuses on this. In Pashtus Landman, to see this simply, it would appear that Rashi kumt faremfer in the stira from the psukim, that Rashi is coming to explain the contradiction that seems to be found in these two psukim. In this pasuk it says Hashem came down in Har Sinai, which in the simple sense it's understood as he came down literally onto the mountain. However, later, and it says that I spoke to you from heaven, so it's not from the mountain, it's from heaven. And therefore Rashi answers it by telling us, this teaches us, and it goes on to explain how to resolve the two contradictory psukim. Mekena benish lerne nazdos is the kabbanus Rashi da, but you can't. It's difficult to say that this is what Rashi means here to explain the contradiction between the two psukim. Vile, because number one, solivos daf Rashi magdim zayn deverta yochel yorad olav mamish. Why does Rashi have to say, I would think that he literally came down onto the mountain? He should have immediately gone to the question because of Echadoimer Kimen Hashemayim. The pasuk here says he came down onto Har Sinai. In the other pasuk, he should have gone immediately. The other pasuk says that he spoke from heaven, and we understand the question, the contradiction. Why does he have to introduce it by saying, I would think that he came down literally? Number two, Ve'ikir, and this is more importantly, the Stira Sishin Ditzve Psukim. The contradiction that we find between these two psukim, vet eshbam vaitadikim pasuk, the contradiction only comes up when you learn the second pasuk, which is that he spoke from heaven. Why does Rashi address the contradiction in this pasuk when we don't even know yet that there's a contradiction? We haven't seen that pasuk yet. Especially that when we get to that pasuk next perek, Rashi over there addresses the contradiction, because of Echadoyim Abayered Hashem Al Har Sinai, as Rashi says that. However, previously we read that Hashem came down on Har Sinai, as he will explain a little later about that Rashi. So, in other words, that why does he have to address this contradiction here when we don't even know that there's a contradiction, especially that he addresses it later when we find out the contradiction. Muzmen sagen, therefore, we have to say, as Rashi, kum da nicht zvaremfer in the stira von die zwei psukim, that Rashi here is not trying to resolve the contradiction between the two psukim. Nor as in dem posik da, but rather that the posik here presents a problem. Noch eidem aveis von der weitadike posikim in Hashemayim, even before we know what it says in that next posik, that Hashem spoke from heaven. Already is farana sofik. Over here already there is a question. Yochel, perhaps, Tziyorad Olav Mamish, is it correct to say that he literally came down onto the mountain? Tzinisht, or maybe not. This pasuk here already presents that question. Vibal das fundanet kemenish machriya zayn, odem dem sofik. And since over here, from this pasuk, we can't resolve it either way, did he literally come down or did he not? Bring the river Rashi araya from a vaitadik pasuk. That's why he introduces that pasuk, in order to strengthen the position and to explain more about this contradiction, which you don't really need that pasuk, only to support the question that comes up from this pasuk itself. That's why it brings in that further pasuk, but that not that that's the pasuk that presents the contradiction. So you have to understand, from vanen nemt sich da de mokem lesofik. How do we have this question come up in this pasuk itself that we're not sure if he came down onto the mountain or not? So Yorad Olam Mamish. base, the beer in them, so to explain how, why we know it from this pasuk. In a friedigen pasuk state, in the previous pasuk, it says already, the Har Sinai Oshen Kulay, that the whole mountain was smoking. There was smoke rising from the mountain. Mipnei Ashiyarod of Hashem Ba'esh, because Hashem came down onto the mountain with fire. As the Barg Hot Norgereichet, so he says the point here is that it was only smoking. But it doesn't say that Har Sinai was on fire, was consumed, engulfed in flames. It doesn't say that. It says it was smoking. So that leaves the question. If the fire, because Hashem Hashem came down in fire. So if the fire came down onto the mountain, so the mountain should have been engulfed in flame, not smoking. Befrad the gewixen, especially the growth, the vegetation that's on the mountain. The estate befedish and pasuk, and we know that it's clearly stated in the pasuk earlier, as I've nasin is given asne back in Parsha Shmos, that Moshe Rabbeinu saw Hashem in the sne, in the burning bush. So we know that there was vegetation on the mountain. You would stand to reason that this was not the only little bush on the mountain, that there must have been others just like this. It's not the only sneh or other vegetation on the mountain, there must have been others as well. So if the fire was there, why weren't they engulfed in flame? Kemen zogen. So perhaps we should say, as das was the bargot nish gebrennt, nor gereichet, is given an es. We could explain it as being a miracle. There was fire on the mountain, but nothing burned, only smoke. But why would Hashem make such a miracle? What's the point of a miracle where there's only smoke and no fire? Befrat Hashem frier bamsne bahar Sinai, especially in light of the fact that earlier when we talked about the sne on Har Sinai shteitas, it says that it was burning. So we see that Hashem is not afraid or doesn't have any problem with allowing the sneh to burn. So why suddenly here is nothing burning, it's only smoking? The fire is glatta tzolen, and therefore Rashi goes with it seems more reasonable to say, as Azayiz is given al piteva, that this was a natural thing. It's, when the fire came down, for some reason it was only smoking. Not that it was a miracle. The Balder Eish Hashem is Nish Yorod Olam Mamash, and the explanation is because the fire did not come down onto the mountain, all the way down to the mountain, nor is Gibul Mehecha from the Barg, but it remained floating above the mountain. The Ribah had the Haz Nish Gibrant, and that's why the mountain wasn't engulfed in flame, nor Oshon Kuloi. It was only enveloped in smoke. Because there was a fire burning just above it, so the smoke went down to the mountain. As is the nature of fire, Venice is genug non zu azach, that when the fire is close enough to something else, the other thing also begins to smoke. So therefore, Rashi says that the question of why the mountain wasn't on fire is because the fire didn't come down all the way till the mountain. The fire is where Hashem came. As it says, Hashem spoke to you from the fire. So that didn't come down all the way to the mountain. And that's why the question comes up. Did Hashem come down onto the mountain, or did he stay floating above the mountain because of the question with the smoke? And the farzat Rashi gleichdo yochol yorod olav mamash, and that's why Rashi says here from this pasuk, he has the question, should we say that he came down all the way down to the mountain from the psukim da v'etamakum l'safik, because from the psukim here that leaves the question, so yorod olav mamash, if he literally came down or not, because there was no smoke, there was no fire, only smoke. Al pizah dafna b'fashtein l'idr kisa, but according to this we have to understand to the contrary, favos is as blois asofik. So then why is it a question? When Rashi dafon comes to the rayas from the writing of pasukim in Shemayim, why does he need to bring proof from a further pasuk that Hashem spoke from heaven as lo yorod olav mamash, and that proves that he didn't come down onto the mountain? Because he already has his proof that since the mountain was only filled with smoke and not with fire, that in itself is proof enough that he didn't come down onto the mountain. So that's the issues with the question. Vayter is Rashi Mamshach. Then Rashi continues in this Rashi to answer the question. Malamed, from this we learn that he tilted down the heavens, the upper heavens and the lower heavens, and he spread them out onto the mountain, like a sheet on a bed, and the throne of Hashem's glory came down onto the mountain, sort of on the heaven that was bent down over the mountain. Which resolves the question. He was on the mountain, but the heavens were on the mountain, and Hashem was on the heavens, and therefore it resolves the question. The Makif and the Pirish is in Mechilta. The source of this explanation is in the Mechilta, but as we explained many times, is Rashi Matik in Zayn Pirish, nor Medrashim Chazal Zayn El Derech HaPshat. Rashi only quotes Medrashim which fit into the regular Pshat, and only Medrashim which explain the simple meaning of the Psukim. And befrat in Unzafal, especially in our case, was Rashi Tzeichen Nisht on, that Rashi doesn't point us to where the source of this explanation is from. Via Tutim Merer Erter, as he does in other places, he would say that it comes from Mechilta. Because that's, when he says that, he wants you to know that this is a Medrash. But when he doesn't, it says that he's saying this as a simple pshat. Amokat Zayim Pirush. So therefore it's clear as the Pirush mit alle seine Protim that this explanation with all the details that Rashi brings nemt erarois nisht from Mechilta, that he's not drawing on the Medrash nor from Pshutus Mikra. He's drawing on the Pshutus Mikra. In other words, that this is to be seen as the ordinary understanding of these Psukim. Don't look at it as a Medrash. So then we have to understand. To explain how both of these can happen, that number one, that Hashem came down on Har Sinai, and number two, that He spoke from heaven, that these two things can work together. In order to explain that, it would be enough for Rashi to tell us briefly. This teaches us that he bent the heavens down onto the mountain, and he came down on the heaven which was on the mountain. Explain it briefly, and that would be perfectly understood how you can resolve Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai umin Hashemayim debarti imochem. V'unem Rashi im Shudush al Mikra, but where does Rashi take it, especially in light of the fact that he's speaking the simple meaning of the Psukim? So how does he know that, first of all, that he tilted both the upper heaven and the lower heaven, as he says? How does he know the upper heaven, the lower heaven? Number two, Nishnar Hirchen, not only did he tilt it down towards the mountain, nor Eich V'Yitziyam, but that he also spread it out onto the mountain. That's a further point. And number three, in Dem Gufa, that not only did he spread it out, but he even tells you exactly how he spread it out. Kematza alamita, like a sheet on a bed. Number four, vayedet nishtavayet. It's not Hashem himself that came down, as the Pasuk says, nor kisei hakavod aleihem, that he brought down the throne of glory onto the mountain, onto the heaven, onto the mountain. So where does Rashi take all these details from? From the Pshuto Shel Mikra. Why is it necessary to say all that? In addition to these questions about how Rashi explains it here, we have to also resolve how Rashi explains it here and how he explains the same contradiction further on in the next Perek, in the next Pasuk, as we said before, that Rashi explains it over there too, in the Pasuk that says that Hashem spoke from heaven. Over there, he says it like this: because of Echad Aimav Yered Hashem Al Sinai. Another pasuk says that he came down onto Har Sinai. So he explains Ba Kosev Ashlishi V'Yichri B'Neim. Therefore, there's a third pasuk which resolves the contradiction between the two. the pasuk says, a third pasuk says, "Mina shamayim ishmiach es koiloi," from heavens he allowed you to hear his voice, liasreka, to admonish you. And on earth he showed you his great fire. So this pasuk explains the contradiction. Kvoidei b'shamayim, his glory, he himself remained on the heaven. The isha yugvarasei ala aretz, and he sent his fire and his power to be displayed on earth, on the mountain. That's one explanation. Davar achar, another explanation. Hirchem shamayim ashmeya shamayim, he bent the heavens and the heavens of above the heavens. V'yitziyim ala aretz, and he spread them out onto the mountain. V'cheinu emer, as the pasuk also says, v'yet shamayim v'yerad. Pasuk in Tilim says that he tilted the heaven and he came down. So he brings a proof from a pasuk in Tilim. So that's the Rashi there. It's Tamua, so that leaves many questions. In Unza pasuk brings Rashi nor dem pirush v'nirchon shemayim. In our pasuk, he only explains the second shot that he says over there, that he tilted the heaven down. And if in pasuk v'nirchon shemayim, zok Rashi, whereas in the pasuk over there, v'nirchon shemayim, Rashi says, number one, nocha pirush. Over there, he gives two explanations to this question. Number two, the Einzige Pirush Da, the only question that the only explanation that he gave earlier in the by Vayerda Hashem al Sinai in our Rashi, Hirchen Shemayim, which is that he tilted the heaven down. Kum Dortatz Tzveita Pirush. Over there, he gives it as the secondary explanation. The second explanation, thus haste. And it says Nijda Pirush Ikri Leit Shudusal Mikra. And we know that when Rashi gives it as a second explanation, it means that it's secondary also. In other words, that the first one is the main explanation. So over there, he considers the other explanation to be the main explanation. And over here, he doesn't even give that first explanation. He only gives the second one. Euch dafen verstehen, we also have to understand. Bishleimet was dort in his Rashi mashmit in the zweiten Pirdi protim kematz alamita. We can understand why Rashi leaves out in that second Rashi the details that he gave over here, which is like a sheet on the bed, that he brought down his throne of glory, which he said here. Kemezong, we can understand why he leaves it out there, because you could easily explain it as a philosophy that he realized that you remember it from the previous chapter. He said it already. He doesn't have to bring it again. And therefore he only brings the general outline of the explanation without having to go through the details again. So that can be understood. But we have to understand the changes that he brings in those in that Rashi. And he also adds certain elements to that Rashi. Number one, over here he says the upper and the lower heavens. Undorten, over there he says Shamayim, the heavens, Ushmeya Shamayim, and the heavens above the heavens. A different lashon. Number two, Dorten is a Moisif Araya from Pasuk. Over there he adds a proof from the Pasuk, the Cheinu Omer, as we said, that he brings the Pasuk from Tilu, Vayet Shamayim Vayerad, that he tilted the heavens down and he came down. And over here he doesn't bring the proof. L'chayre, it would seem that it should be the opposite. If this explanation needs proof from a pasuk, he should have brought the proof the first time that he brought this explanation. The first time that he brings this explanation. Number three, v'bald, as it brings the rab d'artin nordem klolus apirush on ala pratim kenal. Since, as we said, he brings over there only the general outline of the pirush without getting into the details. And that's why he left out like a sheet on a bed and the kisei hakavod. If so, it's livos brengter arob dem prad v'itziyim alahor. So why does he say also he spread out the heavens over the mountain? He didn't have to say that either. Befrat as in the pasuk was brengt l'raya shteit nor v'yet shamayim. Especially that the pasuk that he brings to prove this point, it only says that he tilted the heaven down. It doesn't say that he spread them out. So why does Rashi have to say spread out the heavens on the mountain? Was meint hirchen, the word vayet means he tilted down. Unish de prat von vitziyam, but not the detail of he spread them out over the mountain. So we have all these questions. The bir b'chol zeh, so the explanation of all of this is, The chilukim zwischen die zwei pirushe Rashi, the differences in these two Rashis, seine mitzadem chiluk klolit zwischen de psukim do in der parsha, they stem from the difference of the psukim over here where Rashi is talking in our parsha, where it says atam reisim ki min hashamayim dibarti imachem, where he says you saw. Rather, the parsha over there is what he's going to now. And in the parsha atam reisim hashamayim dibarti imachem, whereas over there he says you saw that I spoke to you from heaven. That's what he's saying in kapitel chaf. We're in kapitel yutes. And chapter Yutes, and then the other Rashi, the other pasuk is in Kapitel Chaf, where over there the subject is, you saw that I spoke to you from heavens, is what Hashem is saying to the Yidden. What's the difference? The Hemshach from the Psukim Da, Brengt Arizvi the Ebishtah, is Hotarob Ginniditav Har Sinai. The context of the pasuk that we're in Perik Yutes, is bringing out the point that Hashem came down on Tahar Sinai. In a oifun golil ein koil, in a way that everybody saw it, all the Yidden saw it. Biz as a har alein ad bakumen akdusha, until the mountain itself took on a holiness, became a holy place. On the far yisham lochem alois bahar, which is the reason that Hashem warned them: be careful, do not go up onto the mountain. Like tiga bayad, you shouldn't touch the mountain. La yuchulam lala sila har Sinai. A third pasuk says that people cannot go up onto Har Sinai. A fourth pasuk says hagbilas arvikidashtoi, cordon off the mountain, and it's because it is a holy place and nobody should go close to it. So four times the pasuk says that you should know that the mountain is a holy place. In other words, bringing out the point that Hashem came down upon the mountain and brought holiness to it. So that's the context in our perik. On the far daf Rashi on kumetzu araya from pasukim in Hashemayim, and that's why Rashi needs to support the other side of the coin, which is to say that Hashem was not on the mountain, because from the context of these psukim, it seems that Hashem was on the mountain, and that it, therefore he brings araya. The other pasuk says that he spoke from heaven. As lo yarod olav mamish, in other words, that for some reason it seems that he did not come down onto the mountain literally. Chach eshteid v'har sinai blois oshen kuloi. And another thing, since it says that it was only smoking the mountain, so from that's another reason to say that he did not come down onto the mountain, even though everything else in this chapter seems to be saying that Hashem did come down onto the mountain. Because from the whole context of this parsha, of this chapter, it comes out as Yorod Olam Mamash, that Hashem did come down, and the Ribbit is the Pasuk V'har Sinai Oshen Kulei Nishmer V'Matal Sofek, and that's why when you find this contradiction that it was only smoking, it's not a conclusive proof that Hashem did not come down. It leaves an interesting question: why was it only smoking? But the whole parsha says that he did come down, so you're not going to use that question about the smoke to completely unravel an entire parsha that seems to point to the fact that Hashem did come down. That's why it only leaves a question rather than gives a conclusive answer that Hashem did not come down. So Yorod Olam Mamash, and that's why it leaves a question: did he come down or didn't he come down? It seems that he did, but then Oshon. And that's why Rashi goes to the next and he says that Kimen Hashamayim, over there it says clearly that he spoke from heaven. So that cements the question into place. There was a question already from Oshon, from the smoke story, but because of the context, it's not a strong enough question. It doesn't give any conclusive answer. But from Kimen Hashamayim, it says clearly that he spoke from heaven. So now you have a good question. You have a solid question. So that's when you look at our chapter. When you get to chapter 20, where the pasuk over there says, Hashem says, you saw that I spoke to you from heaven. So that's the foundation of the discussion. Kumt mad gizayn dem hepech, over there he seems to be emphasizing the exact opposite. Vida Eivishter is hoich und weit von Eretz, how Hashem is removed from the earth, he's up there in the heaven. Und der Reber loisasaniti, and that's why he continues to say that you shouldn't create any images. Loisasan du musham Hashem shavshuvonim amorim, do not make images of the sun and the moon, those servants that serve before me up there in the heavens. So in other words, everything seems to be leading to the fact the point that Hashem is in heaven and not that he came down to earth. That's the context of the parasha there. And the far is the Pirush HaRishon Va'ikadorten, and therefore over there in that, in the second Rashi in Perek Chav, the first and primary pshat over there, B'pshuto Shel Mikra, even in the simple context of the psukim, as Kveida B'Shamayim, the answer to the question is that he remained in heaven. V'rak Ishu Yegvarasei Al Ha'aretz, and only the fire and the power display happened on earth. V'Loidem Pirush is Mudgish the Hechekait from the Ma'ivishn, because in the context of trying to describe as Hashem is in the heaven, that's what the parsha there seems to be making the point. So this answer is the better answer. He remained in heaven. His power was displayed on earth. And therefore the answer is that Hashem himself, did not come down on Har Sinai, nor Gimli Moshamayim, and remained in heaven, as the Pasuk says. However, when you get to the second Pirush, that he tilted the heaven downwards, is Nishglatik Dad Gosha, then it leaves a question in the way the Psukim seem to be making the point, Atem Risen Kimina Shamayim Debarti Imochem, that you saw that I spoke to you from heaven. If he tilted the heaven down to the mountain, then you don't see that he spoke from heaven. It seems like he spoke from the mountain. Therefore, it's a secondary pshat. This isn't the smoother pshat when Hashem is trying to make the point that he is in heaven and speaking from up there. Inside, as the Eibishtad Geret, von Ahoichem Weiten Or, that Hashem was speaking from this elevated place, from Shemayim, from heaven. If you're saying that the heaven wasn't up there at all, the heaven was down here on the mountain. So that explains why Rashi gives two different primary answers in the two different psukim, because they're different contexts. Vav, the mit is eich moven, favos dor Rash zok Rashi hirchen shemayim el yen vetachtayin. Why Rashi says that he bent down the upper heavens and the lower heavens. Und dorten, over there, he changes it to say hirchen shemayim, he bent down the heaven, or shmei shemayim, and the heaven above the heaven. Why? The kavona from Pirush Rashi da is to mazbezayin. What is the intent of Rashi over here to explain here? Is the teichem for the parsha is in the context of this parsha the yedida from Eibush Neifen Har. He's trying to explain what the psukim seem to be saying, that Hashem came down onto the mountain. Nor in an oifem was is nish bestirut to given Hashemayim, but it has to fit with the later pasuk, which is that Hashem spoke from heaven. So you need to resolve those two questions. But the main point is of this parsha is that Hashem came down onto the mountain. On Har Sinai Oshen, and also there's the question of the smoke. Why there's only smoke and no fire? When we bal das von die psukim da kumtois, and since from these psukim it comes out as number one the Eibusher alain, that it was Hashem himself that came down. Hot haribginidet rabginidet of Har Sinai, that he himself came down onto the mountain. Kemen doch nizogen as hirchem blois ein shamayim. So you can say that he tilted down whatever the lowest heaven. He tilted down the lowest heaven onto the mountain. As Svishnavayu and Har Sinai Eretz is Dablois Ein Shamayim. That would be as if to say that Hashem lives, so to speak, in the lowest heaven, and when you lower down the lowest heaven, there he is. In other words, between the earth and Hashem, there's only one heaven. We know that there are layers of heaven, and it doesn't seem reasonable to say that Hashem resides in the lowest of that heaven. So therefore he says, "Driba Muzrashit Suling Hashemayim Do Meit Ala Shemayim." It means that he lowered down all of the heavens. Hol Yenev Tachtanim, the up lower ones and the upper ones, and not just the lower one, because then he wouldn't be there on the mountain. Of course, Hashem doesn't live in the lowest heaven. He is, of course, up, I don't know, above the highest heaven, but in the highest heaven without question. And therefore, he has to make the point that Hashem came down onto the mountain, and the way that he did it was he lowered all the heavens down, and therefore he was on the mountain. And since we're talking about coming down, he doesn't use the wording that is found in a pasuk, Shemayim, Ushmeya Shemayim, the heavens and the heavens above the heavens. nor aloshem vasis masim tzuminyan from Yerida, but rather a language which lends itself more to our reality, to coming down. Ha'olyoyin v'tachtoyin, the upper and the lower. Shemayim v'shmeya shemayim seems very esoteric. What are the heavens and the heavens above the heavens? Upper and lower is quite understood. We're talking about Hashem coming down, so he uses terminology which lends itself more to Hashem came down. He brought all the heavens down, the upper and the lower. Mashein kin darten, however, when you get to the other Rashi, kumt Rashi zum Adzuzayn dat goshev fun kiminei shamayim, over there he's trying to emphasize what the Pasuk is trying to emphasize, that it all happened from heaven. But of course, it can't be in contradiction to what the Pasuk said before, that Hashem came down on Har Sinai. So we need to resolve that. And that's why he adds over there that although he bent the heavens down to the mountain, which of course diminishes somewhat the idea that Hashem spoke from heaven, because now the heavens are down here on the mountain. So he says that bringing down the heaven was not just a heaven. He brought down the heaven and the heaven above the heaven and so on, all the layers of heaven. So therefore, it still brings out that Hashem, he spoke from the highest heaven. It wasn't that he was right on top of the mountain, because he wasn't in the lowest heaven, he was in the highest heaven, and therefore he still spoke from a distance, so to speak. This brings out that he still remained above the mountain, layers above the mountain, as the Eibishtad Gered from Al Gabe Shmei Shemaim, that he spoke from the heaven above the heaven, nor Gefunen Alahar. However, the whole kit and caboodle, you know, the whole the layers of heaven were on the mountain. Since from the context of this parsha comes out as is given in from this parsha, it comes out from our parsha here, it comes out that Hashem came down on the on the mountain, and because of that the mountain itself became sanctified, as he said before. Is nishmaspik was hirchen shemayim. So therefore, to explain that, how did the mountain become sanctified if Hashem is floating above it? Well, does that say nor vises given deviated the goyim bechlau? Because this gives us general terms of what it means that he came down. He brought the heaven down. Of a nishda eifna yirida, but it doesn't explain how all that happened, that the mountain should become sanctified as the Eibishter is arop. If Nasinibit says the Hara Bakumanakdusha, how did it happen that if he tilted the heaven down and the mountain should become sanctified? If Hashem is not even on the mountain, he's on the heaven. The Rivir Muzrashi Domaisiv Zain Vitzim Al Gabi Yahar, that's why Rashi adds the words, he spread out the heavens on the mountain. As is given up Vegelekt Eifenhar, that the heavens were spread out on the mountain. Und nochmer, and not just that they were spread out on the mountain, but he goes even into more detail. Kem matza ala mita, like a sheet on a bed. Was the matza is nisht abazunder achosha v'zach farzich, that we don't look at, when you look at a bed, you don't say the sheets, and then there's the mattress, and so on. The bed is the bed with the sheet on it. No, this is a tail from the mita. It's simply another part of the bed. And that's what happened in our case too. The point is that Hashem did not make the heavens to be separate from the mountain, but he made it a part of the mountain. He spread them out as a sheet above the on the mountain. In other words, it became an integral part of the mountain. Nor is any gevoren the matza fundem har, they became the sheet of this mountain, and the far is the kedusha shechina given even har guf, and that's why the holiness of the shechina was taken on by the mountain, because the spread of the heavens on the mountain became part of the mountain. So that's how he explains it here. Aber in pasuk imen shamayim, but in that pasuk where he's talking about the exaltedness of Hashem speaking from up there, v'dat gosh is in the v'da'ibeshtad gedet min shamayim, where the emphasis there is that Hashem spoke from heaven, nishfun eretz, not to try to bring out that he came down on earth. Ken Rashi nizogna as der pasuk madgiz ein vitziyim kematz alamita. You can't say over here that he spread out the heavens like a sheet on the bed, because that's not the point here. But valdosis on had goshav lehepa, because that would bring out the opposite point that's being made in the pasuk there, that Hashem spoke from the heaven. Adishamayims and give him bottle zum har, because that would bring out the opposite point, which is that the heavens became secondary to the mountain, became the sheet to the mountain, where over there he's trying to say that the heavens remained heavenly. That's the point that he's saying over there. So therefore over here Rashi doesn't want to say v'yitziyam alahar. Sorry, kematza alamita. Because he does say v'yitziyam alahar, but he doesn't make the point that it was like a sheet on the bed. Rashi muzah be'oich darten zulegen v'yitziyam, but he does have to say also there that he spread them out on the mountain. V'amit hirchen shemayim aleim v'entnish faremfed the stira from Yerel Havayel Har Sinai. Because simply by saying that he tilted the heaven down doesn't yet explain the contradiction of Hashem came down on Har Sinai, because from that we know that it brought holiness to the mountain. And that's why he has to make the point, at least explain that he spread out the heavens on the mountain of the Shemayim, that the heavens were not removed from Har Sinai. Just to make sure that you understand that the mountain did take on the holiness and why it did. But that he spread them out over the mountain, but he doesn't want to get into the detail to bring it down like as if the heavens became bottled to the mountain, that he doesn't want to go to, because that's not the point there. The mitzvah is eich muvan. So from this we also understand that Rashi dav dorten zulegen the raya from pasuk, why Rashi has to add the raya over there in that Rashi vayeret shemayim vayeret, that he tilted the mountain and came down. Why does he need a raya? The raya from pasuk is of them. The point of the proof of that pasuk is to teach us as mervi vayet shemayim thus main hirchin, that the pasuk is not making any other point other than that he bent it down towards the mountain. As mervi vayet shemayim thus main hirchin, that nothing more than that he tilted the heaven down, which means he had tilted it down, is the pasuk nishmadish, that the pasuk is not making any other point, any further point. And therefore that brings it closer to what the pasuk Kimena Shemayim is saying, the psukim red nishven kematz alamita, that we're not talking about the heavens becoming secondary to the mountain, which then would leave, it's no longer heaven, then it's almost as if he spoke from the mountain, and the pasuk here is trying to say that he spoke from heaven. The Shemayim matza beta tail from the har mata, as if to say that if we say kematz alamita, then it would mean that the heavens became a part of the mountain, just a sheet to the bed. So narhitzian is blaise a hemshach von hirchin, but rather the point here is being made that when he spread the heavens out over the mountain, it was only in a way that he tilted heaven down towards the mountain. As vert nichlal in the vayet, that's part of what the pasuk says vayet. Erat harab gibayin the shemayim b'tzumhar, he tilted it down till the mountain of anish mer. If he does, but nothing more than that, not that the heaven became secondary to the mountain. Oichdan zaynig zegiblim shemayim, and the point is that even when they were spread out over the mountain, they still retained their position or their personality, their status as heaven. And therefore it makes sense what the pasuk says, I spoke to you from heaven. But if you start saying that he spread it out as a sheet over a bed, then you're talking about not becoming, no, it's no longer heaven. Now I spoke to you from the mountain. Therefore Rashi keeps a balance. He explains why the mountain took on holiness, because it was spread out over the mountain, but not that it became secondary to the mountain, because we're still talking, the pasuk is talking about speaking from heaven. Ches al pianal. So based on this, as do is Rashi oisin samaz b'zayin the prote ve'fanei yerida from the meivish noivarsina. That over here he's trying to explain how Hashem came down onto Har Sinai. Is a chmuvim favos Rashi zogt kisei akavod alei, and why he says that he brought down the throne of glory onto the mountain. By Yitzias Mitzrayim state, over there it says, Va'avarti be'eretz Mitzrayim, that Hashem will pass through Mitzrayim on the night of Pesach when he killed all the b'chayrim of the Mitzrayim. The point there is being made that it was Hashem himself who came down into Mitzrayim. Is a rob gekumen in Mitzrayim, and vi kase go bechayrim, I killed all the bechayrim. And from deswegen gefind man ish as by Yitzias Mitzrayim, even though Hashem came himself, as we say in the Haggadah, emphasizing again and again, not through a malach, not through a sarav, I myself came. So Hashem came down into into Mitzrayim. Still, we don't see Zolzayin de Oshon. We don't find that there was smoke going on all over Mitzrayim. Hashem was there. Why wasn't there smoke? Like when Hashem came down to Har Sinai. So if he came down in both cases, what's the difference in Mitzrayim that there was no smoke, and here on Har Sinai there was smoke? So in order to explain that difference, the difference, the way Hashem came down on Har Sinai and the way he came down to save the Yidden from Mitzrayim, is Rashi Medayik. That's why he brings out this point, that the Kisei HaKavod also came down. The Kisei HaKavod means that Hashem came down, so to speak, in a permanent way, in a fixed way, not that it was passing through. He came down with a seat. When you're sitting, it means that you're there to stay, for a while at least. And it also shows on an elevated status that comes down. The throne of glory represents the king, represents the kingship, the kingdom. Thus haste, in other words, to say, as by Matan Torah, is the Eibush to give them this Yashvus Ukvius of Har Sinai, which means that when Hashem came down onto Har Sinai, he brought along a chair. Not only a chair, he brought along the throne which represents him, his kingship. It wasn't that he came for a while. He came down to stay in a fixed way, in a settled, permanent way. Even though it was only temporary, but in a permanent way for the time that he's there. And that he came with his whole glory and the kid, what represents the kingdom and kingship and so on. And the father had vayered abaya larsina mitgebracht the alle protem was when the zelten basha. And that's why when Hashem came onto Har Sinai, it brought along everything that comes along with the king, with Hashem. The plate, there's a fire floating on top, and there's smoke going on, and there's sounds and kailus of brokim, and there was a whole event. Whereas when he came to Mitzrayim, it was Vavarti. He outpassed through Mitzrayim. He didn't come down to stay. Passing through, you don't bring along all of those, the entourage, everything that comes along with the king. From the things that we can also find, Rashi also has always other things happening beneath the surface, and in this case we're learning the remez and soy, things that are allusions and the esoteric part of the Torah, which we're going to see in this Rashi. The chiluk anal tzvishin de tzvei psukim b'meil pirush Rashi anal, the difference that we just pointed out between those two psukim, which leads to the difference in the way Rashi explains them also. As doy is mudgish di yerida, that in this pasuk over here in Yutes, he emphasizes Hashem coming down. Nor di yerida is ba'efen from hirchen shemayim, but that he came down by bringing the heaven down with him. As oich shemayim zayin arab genidit, that also shemayim came down. Dort nis doy et gosh in the perek chof, the emphasis is, as min shemayim dibarti imochem, that Hashem spoke from heaven. Hecher von Eretz, in other words, bringing out that this, he always remained above the earth. Nevi Shemayim zayin in amatzah von hirchem, but that heaven, he is in heaven, but heaven as it lowered itself down towards earth. So in this is merumas in them, and this we can see, was the posik vayered Hashem al Sinai is in capital Yutes posik chaf. Now it explains why this Pasuk Vayered Hashem al Sinai is in chapter 19, Pasuk Chaf, Pasuk 20. On the Pasuk Yimena Shemayim, whereas that Pasuk that Hashem spoke from heaven is the opposite. Chapter 20, Pasuk 19. What's the difference? Yutes Shteit in Svarim, in regards to the number 19, it says in Svarim, is the gematria from the miluf and Shem Avaya Shema, is the numerical value of the filling out of the letters of Yutke Vavke. What that means is Yutke Vavke is the numerical value of 26. Yud, two Hays is 5 and 5 is 10, is 20, and Vav is 26, as is well known. But then there is a Yud is made up of Yud Vav Dalet. That's how you spell out the word Yud. Hey is Hey Aleph or Hey Hey, depending. That's why you have Shema, Shem Ban. You have different Shem Av, Shem Sag. There is four different ways in which to spell out the Milui, the extensions of each letter of the Shem Avaya, which bring us numerical values of 45 or 52 or 63 or 72. That's the meaning of those four names that are brought in Chassidus often. So if you want to look at just the extension of the Yud K Vav K, leave out the Yud and the K and the Vav and the K, and just look at the filling out of the letters. So in the case of Yud, it would be the Vav Dalad, and in the case of Hey, it would be the Hey or the Aleph, and so on. So only the Milui, only the extension, only the filling out of those letters is the numerical value of 19. How do you get to that? I just said the Yutke Vavke is numerical value of 26. What is the milui? The total, the entire milui is ma mem hei 45. So deduct 26 from 45. You're left with 19, which means the milui is 19. Now, what is the meaning of this milui that's so significant? Because the inyan milui is v'mizokta reizdem ois bedibur. A milui means the letter yud. If you look at it, if you read it, as a part of a word, it just has the sound of yeh, or hey is heh. But when you verbalize, when you pronounce the word yud as a letter, yud, so the milui represents the verbalizing of that letter. The vav dalet takes it from yeh to yud, which means gilui ha'helem, to reveal that which was hidden in the letter yud. You have also that it can be pronounced, but usually when you verbalize the letter yud, it's only in a word, so it only has the sound of yeh. But concealed in there is also the fact that it's a yud, and it has the vav dalet too. When you verbalize it, so you reveal that which is usually concealed in the letter yud, as you verbalize it normally as a part of another word. Unin sfiris is the sfiris amalchus. If you want to relate that to Sviris, that represents Sviris HaMalchus, which function is to take things which are concealed and to reveal them and to develop them into a full-fledged, into a revealed state. As we know that Malchus represents femininity, the feminine aspect of Elokus, and we know that the feminine function is that it takes a fertilized egg, which it has all the DNA, but in a very concealed way, and it develops it into a full-fledged, revealed human being. You get a baby at the end of 9 months, which has every part of what was concealed in that egg. So that's what Malchus is, Yutes. Kof, the letter Kof, represents, is Rosh HaTevis Keser, represents Keser, the crown which is above us. Keser is makiv and echav and say the shalshulos. Keser represents that which is above and beyond the evolution of the midas one to the other. Vibal does alle sfira zayn klula zumizu. And since we know that every sfira is made up of all the others, as is well known from, for instance, sfira sa'imer, that chesed shebegvura, and every one of them is included in the others, is in Keser, Faran Malchus Shebekeser. So Keser also is made up of all the others, and therefore in Keser there is Malchus Shebekeser. Das heis vi Keser vasis hecha vom Welt. In other words, to say that Keser, which was by nature beyond world, steht in atnua von Gilu Lumata, but Malchus of Keser means the way Keser is brought into a revealed state down here in the worlds itself. Und azoi euch is in Malchus voran Kesser shuba Malchus. And the same is true that in the Middah of Malchus, there is the Kesser which is found in Malchus. Which means, as in Malchus, Almed is Galion, Vet Nizgala Kesser. What that means is that Malchus, which is the state of being in the revealed world, you have over there also Kesser, which is revealed in that state as well. In the state of revelation, you get Kesser, which is by nature concealed. Und das ist der Chilik zwischen den zwei Psukim. And that's the difference between these two Psukim. Kapitel Yutes, Pasuk Chav. Kapitel Yutes. And the Pasuk Chav, as the Chav is in a prat in the Yutes, meaning to say that the Keser, the Chav, is a part of the reality of Yutes, which is Malchus. Vayist of Keser Sheba Malchus. That means that the Midah, the natural state is Malchus. But there is within that also Keser. Und the Far is Zayin, them kapitels close the Ketoich and Yerida Malchus. That's why this chapter Yutes, where it says Vayered Hashem al Har Sinai, because that's what we're talking about. Malchus means to reveal into the world, but there is also the element of Keser in it. Now Rashi Yenu Shul Teiras Megala. However, Rashi reveals to us as Vashteit in Oder Yerida Hirchon Shemayim Keser Shema Malchus, that what that means, that it came down, means that there was Keser, the heavens came down, that in the state of revelation of Hashem coming down on Har Sinai was an element of Keser, that he brought the heavens, Keser, which is beyond earth, down into Malchus, into the world. Oh, but Kapitel Chav Pasuk Yutes, but when we get to chapter 20, Pasuk Yutes, as Yutes is a Prat from Chav. So here Malchus is found in the context, the general context of Keser. Vaistov Malchus Shebe Keser, that means that it's Malchus of this reality of Keser. And the Far is Zayin Teichen Kloli. That's why the general state of things there is Mina Shamayim. It's all beyond earth. It's all above earth. It's Keser. Vida Rebishter is upgetrunken from Welt, by the way Hashem is removed from the world. Keser. Und euch, da is Rashi Megala over here. Also Rashi tells us, Ados is Nishvi Keser is La'atzmai. Behel or behelim, that you should know that when Mikim and Hashemayim is not talking about how Keser remains in its concealed state up there in the heavens, nor here in Shemayim, but that it's you get your Malchus in that Keser also, that he brought the heavens down into the onto earth or close to earth above the mountain. Malchus Shebe Keser, you get your Malchus in Keser as well. Yud. Das ist euch der Bi'ur Pnimi in them. And this is also the explanation, at least from that perspective, was in Zayin Pirush, Eifem Pasuk Vayered, with the reason why in his explanation of the words Vayered Zakrashi Kematza Alamiti says, like a sheet on the bed. When Eifem Pasuk Yimena Shemayim is it a smashvit, then when he talks about the second Rashi, where it talks about speaking from heaven, he leaves out the sheet on the bed thing. Vibaldas, the reason is, Vibaldas Keser Shema Malchus is a prat in Sviris HaMalchus. Since Keser, as it's found in Malchus, is really an element of Malchus, Vasinyona is Yerida Lamata, which whose function is the revelation down and below, is Oichin dem Keser Shabazer Shayach Yerida Nislapshus Lamata, and therefore the Keser, which is a part of the general framework of Malchus, even Keser has an element of revelation in it. That it's able to, even Keser can be revealed downwards, and not just revealed downwards, but it becomes a part of the revelation. It's a spread out like a sheet on the bed. But when we talk about the opposite, Malchus as it's found in the general context of Keser, Ados was Keser is Me'el Lamata. So in other words, the idea that Keser is revealed down here in the element of Malchus as well, but since we're talking about the general element of Keser, which is essentially beyond revelation down here, is therefore even when Keser needs to come down, meaning the element of Malchus that's found in Keser, then when that happens, it's not in a way that Keser or even the Malchus of Keser is able to integrate into the world below, because Keser is by nature in its essence is beyond the world. So even the element of Malchus, which means that it's going to be revealed below, is not in a way that it integrates with the below. Now, Bleib Bechinas Makif Shemayim, he still remains aloof, removed from the lower reality, so therefore you can't use the term that it's like a sheet on a bed, because it remains above that.